This week, we have the parallel verses from our Gospel reading and our Epistle reading. From the Gospel according to Luke, the words of God the Father to Jesus the Son come as, "You are my own dear Son, I am pleased with you." And from Paul's letter to the Hebrews, it says, "The Son was made greater than the angels, just as the name that God gave him is greater than theirs. For God never said to any of his angels, 'You are my son, today I have become your father.'" The words are significant in the Gospel because they mark the start of Jesus' public life of ministry. And we understand here from these two passages what Christ's place is in the heavens, that his position is above all heavenly beings. Why does Paul go to so much trouble to express that Jesus is more important than angels to the Hebrews? We'll answer that question. He wants them to know that Jesus is above them, that Jesus is Lord. Is Paul dealing with issues of the perceived views of the material and spiritual worlds and trying to correct errors? Well, of course he is. He's trying to set out a doctrine for the early church and for this Hebrew church. Well, God is obviously doing a new thing here in the material world, redeeming and reuniting it with the heavenly realm through Jesus Christ. And Paul wants to make it clear that Jesus, although human, is above the angels and equal with God the Father as the Son. So we must examine what Paul is trying to say about angels and the foundations of his claim and the proof from Scripture that Jesus is above the angelic realm. And we need to understand the significance of this, and we can do so by learning what angels are and what are they are not compared to who Christ is. First, we must emphasize that angels are messengers or servants of God, in the same way to a mail driver or a postman is to the messenger of the sender. So it is not correct for angels to become the focus of praise. If you receive some good news through the post, you wouldn't run out and kiss the postman, would you? No. Rather, praise should be attributed to God, the sender. Of that, there can be no doubt. If there was any doubt of this, well, let us take a look at the attributes of angels that are found in Scripture. What attributes do they have? Well, first is the fact that angels are created beings. All things were created by him, Jesus, and for him, it says in the first chapter of the book of Colossians. Angels preceded human beings in creation. Their creation is not specifically mentioned, but we infer that when God created the heavens and the earth, he also created the angels. The media portrays angels as godlike creatures, not created beings. And this is wrong. Second is the reality that angels are spiritual beings, unlike human beings who have both body and spirit. Angels are only spiritual beings. Furthermore, they are not created in God's image as humans are, and they do not inherit salvation. The media often displays angels in heaven as spiritual beings with human bodies. This is not scriptural. Third, we understand that eternal beings, angels, are not subject to aging and never die. Fourth is the reference that angels are higher than human beings. The psalmist wrote, "God made humans a little lower than the angels." But in the new creation, redeemed people will be higher than the angels and have authority over them. Fifth is on the subject of intelligence. Though they are limited spirits, the Bible implies that their intelligence is greater than that of human beings. And something similar is said about the strength that angels have. Angels' power is not theirs inherently, but it comes completely by delegation from God. In Isaiah 37, we see that one angel was able to kill 185,000 Assyrians in one night. What strength! And we also cite from Scripture that in the presence of God, Jesus mentions in Matthew 18 that angels always see the face of his Father, whereas we know that humans cannot. And what do we know of angelic activity? Well, we know that angels relate to individual believers. On various occasions through the Old and the New Testaments, we see how angels defend and protect and deliver God's servants when it is in his providence to do so. We hear that angels are concerned with the church and its activity. In 1 Timothy, we see angels called on as witnesses to Paul's charge to Timothy. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus as the elect angels to keep these instructions, Paul writes. We understand that angels will accompany Christ when he returns. It says in Scripture, in the Gospel of Matthew, when the Son of Man comes and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. And this last point really makes the point that Paul himself is attempting to make clear to the Hebrews in his letter, that Jesus is positioned above angels. They are in support of him. And so we come to what is a common misconception about angels, and I believe what Paul is getting at. That is that angels are never mediators between people and God, thus we should not worship them. But what Paul juxtaposes here are the attributes of angels with the attributes of God the Father, shared by and with Jesus the Son of God, that shows that Jesus is God and more than an angel. Indeed, the moral attributes of the Son are the same as the attributes of God. In Hebrews chapter 1 verses 8 and 9, I'll remind you, it says this: But about the Son, he says, Your throne, O God, will last for ever and ever. A sceptre of justice will be the sceptre of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. The Son's moral attributes are consistent with that of the Father, and Paul wants the Hebrews to know that he has those attributes. Paul wants the Hebrews to know that Jesus, like God, is holy, that he exists in moral excellence, and there can be and are not any limitations to his moral perfection. The law of Moses is bound up in trying to attain this sacrifice, sacrificial systems too, and the atonement achieves it. Paul wants the Hebrews to know also that in Jesus, love is perfected. Like God, Jesus is truly loving. God's love is divine and perfect. It's seen in creation, and it culminates in the action of the Son dying on the cross. It is present in the Father and the Son. And Paul is saying to the Hebrews that it is foundational that they understand and believe that Jesus shares these attributes. His way is entirely consistent with the way of the Father, because he and the Son with the Spirit are one, three persons in one, known as the hypostatic union. And Paul states that the Son is the same as the Father in terms of his divinity and eternal existence too, once again separating him apart in many ways from the angels. So how is God revealed to us in the Father and the Son? Well, we look to his natural attributes for this: his omnipotence, his omnipresence, his omniscience, and his eternal living. That is, that Jesus, the Son, like the Father, is all-powerful. He is everywhere. He is all-knowing, and he has no beginning and no end. He is more than any created being, angel or otherwise. It is clear that Paul wants there to be no doubt for the Hebrews over who Jesus is, and his letter and the scriptures can leave us in no doubt either. That is, that Jesus is Lord, that all heaven declares it, and all earth must surely do the same for its salvation. Why does this all matter to us today? Well, in the context of today's gospel reading, it is a stark reminder that we are not to see Jesus as a created being. He is not, as some claim, an adopted son of God at the moment of his baptism. Moreover, Jesus is, from the very beginning, and he has authority the same as the Father. When Jesus was baptized, he did so as sinless. That's why he receives God's pleasure. But also, he's there for doing it for the reconciling of the whole creation to him as the living God. And isn't it wonderful to think that the same water that touched Jesus in baptism today remains in our water cycle, touching and blessing his creation, a constant reminder of God's presence and provision in the world.